Good morning, everyone. Bonjour. For the Karen Lalague, Manuela, bom dia. Aos irmãos hispânicos, buenos dias. Salam aleikum, if you speak Arabic. And don't think I speak all those languages. I just fake until I make. And people says, how many languages do you speak, Marcio? Only one, Portuguese, and very badly. So English is not my language, so keep with me and pray that the Holy Spirit will talk to you and explain better. By the way, the oil thing, I would go to Brando. It's much better than I try myself. Brando does a good job in his mechanic shop. We are ending the series on Noah today. It was supposed to be last week and today, but I was given the privilege by Pastor Dave to do both in one. So hold with me a little more, but we hope to do this in the proper time. Noah, hope in a troubled world. And today we're going to see hope in the covenant. And the mercy is what we are going to be leaning on. Let me read with you from Genesis. I'm going to read from 8 to 17, but we know the context will be until the end of the book, with the emphasis more in the first part. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and a rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. Heavenly Father, once more, we lean our hearts towards you. We ask your blessing upon all of us, me as a speaker, to have grace and anointing, and all as congregants to listen to your voice. We have been blessed so much already to be in your presence. The worship we are part of, united with all saints around the world, coming in the second floor, coming in the throne of God, we all have experienced your presence already through the testimonies, the beautiful interview with Jeff and his heart and Eliza and what they do around us. For all that, we praise your name. We ask to you to speak to us, to encourage us, to correct whatever we need to be correct, and make us aware of your presence, your covenant, your mercy upon us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Herman Bavinck, in his Dogmatics, he was a systematic theologian, reformed. He describes God's covenant as the framework of all divine human interaction, emphasizing God's sovereignty and unity of Scripture to the unfolding of the covenant of grace. And he writes this: the covenant is not a pact between equals. It is a divine condescension or superiority in which God binds himself to his people. So it's not an act of two equals, but the immanent, the transcendent God come to us and make something with us. He also stressed that the covenant of grace, it is God's initiative, completely rooted in his mercy and fulfilled in Christ. And this is what we're going to see today. We have started in Noah's and God's warning to Noah, make first a covenant with Noah and his sons. And now this covenant is going to be expanded to all of us. And in the entire Bible, we're going to see that this is the framework. This is the God's work. This is how God works in us through the history of salvation. He made a covenant with Adam and Eve. They disobeyed it. And then he expanded through this covenant of grace to all of us until the end of times, and never will change it. So let us talk about promises. Unfortunately, there is the promise of God, but we also should be faithful to that. But we always have broken promises. Lance Armstrong and the doping scandal. I don't know how many of you remember it. Do you have anything there? Something is not going on there? But anyways, you come up, I hope. Yeah, there you go. So this former professional cyclist was a global icon, best known for his 7 consecutive victories in Tour de France, or Tour de la France, from 1999 until 2005. And he was an inspirational comeback from his own testicular cancer. He became a voice for that thing. His story was seen as a symbol of overcoming adversity. And he became a hero not only for his athletic achievements, but also for his advocacy for cancer survivors through his Livestrong Foundation. Until in 2012, after many years of allegations, Armstrong was stripped of all his Tour de France titles. And he was banned by the American agents, anti-doping agents, because he cheated, because he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was accused of being used with his team drugs. And later on in 2013, publicly, he confessed in an Oprah Winfrey show, and he admitted using drugs throughout his cancer, acknowledging his broken promises. And that is a bad thing. Once a hero, and then later became a villain, and even today, he's trying to regain his reputation, but was never the same. In the former city I lived, Arapongas in Brazil, a lady used to visit our church and other church too. Always she was dressing in a bride dress. And she was hoping to find someone in the church that will be her husband. And that was a very story that I testify, I witness first. I didn't know what was going on. But she would come to our church every Sunday and many other churches around, dressed in white as a bride, hoping to find a groom. Quite a few times, Jeff, she held my hand. She smiled at me. I almost said, You know, I have someone. But I felt sorry, compassion for her. So many times I didn't care. There was homeless there. You know, in Brazil, I told you before, dogs come, cat comes, homeless come. The door is open. Anybody can come and nobody's probably. She came. She held my hand. Sometimes she was with makeup, smile at me, hoping I would do something about it. Sometimes in tears, and many times in tears, in despair. And unfortunately, she never recovers from that. Even 10 years, I was in this city, many times we preached the gospel, but she never recovered from a broken promise that a fiancé that actually signed the papers days before that, what happens in Brazil, in the altar, in the wedding, he refused to have her as wife, and he broke the promises. After the fall, we, humanity as human, we became a lawbreakers by default. We make promises, and most of time we fail to keep it. They say promises made, promises broken. Many times, not a few times, many times, we do not deliver what we promised. Vows of marriage are broken. I have performed more than 100 weddings in Brazil, and I didn't count in here, not that many, but I have done some. Few of them I have seen broken their vows. Businesses are dissolved for disagreement. Employers and employees disappoint each other in their expectation. Churchgoers, attenders, like you and me, sooner or later are going to fail somebody. Some parents do not raise their kids as they intended and promised when they dedicate their lives and their kids. Some students, some kids, they as soon as they go to university and they got in the campus, very soon they forgot or they forget to go to the church as they were advised. Some of them, not all of them, spend more time and more money in having fun than hard work, and later on they're going to blame, oh, I chose the wrong major, I know the teachers were not good, the college wasn't great, oh, that was my roommate, and they fail everybody their promises. So that's the broken and troubled world we live in. And that's what we are in essence. Like I said, promises breakers. That's who we are. And with this mindset, we tend to think promises are made to be broken. Nevertheless, this never happens to God. Whatever he promised, he will fulfill. He's never late. He's always in time. What he promises, he always going to fulfill, because God, only God actually, is the real promise keeper. Little background of where we are. I don't know why we are keeping that thing. We should be going in the way it is displayed. So yeah, let's go there and stay there until I go to the next. It'll be easier for us. But there is a context. I want to be short on that. We have preached many pastors. They did a great job. So what's the context? Humanity sinned, and we faced God's judgment to the flood. In the period leading to the flood, humanity had become exceedingly corrupt and wicked. God's judgment through the flood was not arbitrary, but was the righteous response to our overwhelming evil. And because, only because of the holiness of God, his justice, and our righteousness and unfaithfulness, we were led to the flood. The flood was not just the judgment of God, but also the demonstration of his love and his holiness in the light of sin. But despite of the weakness of the world, Noah, and we learn here, found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and we could see it in Genesis 6:8. Lopes, a Brazilian South American theologian, says that Noah's preservation was not because of his, Noah's perfect righteousness, but because of God's unmerited grace. This grace extends to all who are faithful to God, even in midst of judgment. So Noah was righteous in the eye of God, and he found his grace. But the salvation and the deliverance that God provided for Noah and the family and for humanity was not because his perfection, but because the mercy of God, his faithfulness. So mercy. So this text presents us not five, I would say now six aspects or truth in which God demonstrates his mercies towards us sinners. First, unconditional promise. God promises not to destroy the earth with all flood again, independent of human action. Yes, we do have flood here and there. Last year, after 25 years waiting for a second honeymoon, I plan to go to Land Forward, or let's say Miami. It's close to Miami. I forgot the name. I think it's Land Forward, something like that. 3 days before I go, there was a flood there. More than like 5 or 10,000 cars were destroyed, so I have to quit my trip, and I lost the opportunity. But that's it. We still have flood. We still have people dying. A year ago in the south of Brazil, we have the major catastrophe has ever happened in Brazil. Thousands of people died. Like 400 cities were underwater. 400 cities out of 600. There was just like 10 cities that wasn't reached. But what was promised that never again, O earth, humanity, you have the judgment immediately destroyed. So there is still have problems. We still have flood. We still have judgment of God. But never again a decision from God that you destroy us forever. Because from there until the end, God is merciful, and he promised not to destroy all humanity, all earth, all creation with the judgment. He says, I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. Interesting. Three times this expression appears. Then God said, and God said, so God said. In Genesis, this expression shows up 46 times. God said, or God says. More interesting, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see especially God saying seven times, God says, there will be light, and this and that. And that power's voice is not only a talking, it's a command, it's an order. It is something that comes and something is created. He created everything from nothing, ex nihilo, through his voice. So when we see God saying to Noah, and God says, is the same power, is the same strength, with the same authority, he spoke to Noah, and he created the universe, heavens and earth. And that's how God is speaking with Noah again, because we're going to see a new creation, a new rebirth, a new beginning. And that's why this expression shows up. But nevertheless, from Adam and Eve, that God gave us a covenant of works. This is what I'm going to do, and this is your part. This is what you're going to do. And if you don't do this, are you going to punish you, or this is the consequence of it? With Noah, it's different. It is a covenant of grace. Of course, He established this unconditional covenant with Noah and all living creatures by his grace. Of course, undoubtedly, he expects us to follow his ordinances, his observances, but we are not going to be punished or have a penalty immediately. How do we know that? Because that comes the second aspect, because the sign of the rainbow. So God could have said, I won't do it. And perhaps we could say, how do I know? Can you imagine Noah and his sons, whatever they would see a rain, and wherever they would go as populations, and they would see a storm, a lightning, a thunder, they could think, hey, is it happen again? Because I'm still doing bad things, I'm still messing around. Is God going to do the same as before to our ancestors? But now God gave us a sign for them to remember. No, he will not. He said, we will never be again destroyed by the waters. But I bet if you have been in a flood, if you have been under a storm situation, you always remember that situation. You always think something is going to happen again. I told you once, I was struck by lightning, like at 10 meters. I felt my heart beating. I run, and running in my age is kind of a miracle, but I run almost 10 kilometers the opposite way, not knowing where I'm going, until I said, why am I going that way? Why am I running? I had no idea, but that confusion came because of the lightning, and some people have died in the same beach in that day. So they might look at the rain and say, oh no, again. But no, there is a sign of the rainbow, a visible sign of God's mercy and covenantal faithfulness. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. So that includes you and me. So when he speaks now, it's not only with Noah about the ark and about those people living that time. Now it's you, his sons, all living creatures, all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and that's very important. What is a sign? A sign represents. A sign appoints. A sign illustrates. A sign reminds us of something bigger or of our importance. The bow and the arrow or arrows were symbol of war, to kill or to protect. But now that bow that used to be in this position, vertical, now is horizontal. Now the bow that was supposed to be a weapon of attack, now the bow is resting on the clouds, appointing to God's mercy, appoints to above and to heaven. Now it means God puts an end on it. The bow that represents the weapon, the war, the attack, now is resting upon the clouds for you and for me to see, his sign of a mercy. So now there is no enemy to appoint. Now it's flat position, change the meaning. And it's a powerful meaning. And it's a powerful sign that God wants us all the time to remember. Not just when you read Genesis 9, but every time we see that, we should remember Noah's covenant of mercy with all generations to come. The circumcision was a sign. Moses' burning bush was a sign of the presence of God. Moses' rod of staff was a sign. The serpent raised in the desert was a sign. The plague were signs. The star in Bethlehem was a sign. The manger and the clothes were a sign. The baptism is a sign of an inside blessing that I was baptized, I was dead for my sin, and the water in immersion is only a sign what God has done invisible in my heart through Christ. The communion we celebrate, Jesus says, is a sign of the new covenant. I'm going to eat with you in my new covenant when I come back again. And you do it in remembrance of me. So the communion, the Lord's table is a sign. And beautifully, the linens and the clothes left in the tomb is a sign of his return, is a sign of the second coming. And the Jewish and the followers knew that. It's no sign. So it's a sign. It's not something you take like less important. It's a very powerful sign. What was the purpose? Third, whenever the rainbow appears, it serves as a reminder to God of his covenant. Ensure that the waters will never again flood the earth to destroy all life. Dr. Sproul would emphasize this as God's commitment to his promise and the assurance what he has provided to humanity. Can you see that? Can we see when we see the rainbow that is up in the clouds that God gave us his grace, his mercy? Every time we see the rainbow, we should remember God's grace, God's judgment, and his providence in saving us from destruction and elimination. Before this covenant, whatever you do, you're going to be punished right away as Adam and Eve were. But the flood was God's answer for our transgression. So the flood was God's answer for our transgressions, but the rainbow secures he will not execute O earth again. So the flood happened. It will never happen again. It should remind us his judgment. But the rainbow would appoint us for a bigger things, that he won't destroy us until the number of the elect or the people who will be saved will be complete. And then we come from the mercy over judgment. The rainbow is a symbol of God's forbearance and long-suffering in the light of sin. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy your life. Am I a person that when we sin, we think God's going to send us to hell? There are people like that. Because the tendency of those judgment, we think, oh, now what I've done, I can't recover, I can't do better. Of course, we should not sin. Of course, we should put down our earthly nature every day and die for sin and kill our sinful nature, but we will not be judged by our works or our deeds of our merit of works, because God has mercy over judgment. God will not punish us right now because what we did. And everything we do that is sin might have consequences, but already has a remedy through here, but you'll be accomplished in Christ. Because Noah could not save himself and his family, and we know he was not perfect. He obeyed, he preached, he believed, but his action was actions of faith. Even entering the ark, it was not his deeds, but was his act of faith. And that's what you and me should do. Jesus is also our boat. Jesus is our safe haven. Our ark, Jesus is our ark in this troubled and messy world, flooded in sin. So what do we do when you go bad? What the homeless, what the addictions do? They come to the same boat. They come through the same doors. We come to the same invitation of Jesus. Oh, we are really thirsty and sick and hungry. This is the invitation for you and for me and for all generations from this day, from Noah until the end. We only needed to go on his boat. Come on board with Jesus in his ark. Because this was also a symbol of Christ. There is a God's invitation to all of us to come on board with Jesus. And then the fifth, what was this rainbow? Was a foreshadow of Christ. The covenant with Noah looks forward to the ultimate covenant of grace fulfilled in Christ. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. We know there were many covenants, work and grace. Start with Adam, Abraham, and then we see in David, Jeremiah, in Jesus. But they are not many covenants. Actually, they are all one. The covenant, everlasting covenant, the alliance, the promise of God to save us. They are all foreshadowing of Christ, the everlasting covenant through his sacrifice, his death, his atonement, and his resurrection. Grace upon grace. The last bit, Noah's last day and generations to come. A systematic theologian, Louis Berkoff, says this: the covenant of grace is the gracious agreement between the offended God and the offending but elect sinner, in which God promises salvation through faith in Christ. So which base was Noah saved? By his faith and by the same overshadowing of Christ. Which base you and I are saved? We are saved in the same base of the everlasting grace, the overshadowing of Christ that was in the past through many types, accomplished in his days and appointed to his second coming. The covenant of grace is the gracious agreement between the offending God and us by his grace. Genesis 9:28 contains a weird or strange or a story that we don't want to talk much about it, but tell us about Noah's drunkenness and response of his sin. In a way, I'm quite happy that it has happened, because if it was happened before, maybe Noah was not part of the group who was saved, and I don't know what will be about that. But it didn't happen. But it happened after, when God promised not to destroy more humanity, because if God was gonna do what he did before, there was no hope for us. But it happens to show us that Noah was not perfect. Noah still have the same problem we do have, the sinful nature that we carry, and he still fight. We know, surprisingly, that Noah has walked 600 years with God. Can you believe that? Actually, by the way, Noah was the third man that lived the most, and he only lost 13 years for Methuselah and 9 years for his son or grandfather, but he lived 950 years, and he lived 600 years in a wicked world. Nobody to put him up, nobody to encourage him. Jesus says that people were living like in a way that they only drinking, have fun, you know, marrying and married. Nobody were worried about God, but Noah walked with God for 600 years. And he was the only man on earth whom God saw fit to save from the judgment of the flood. From the opportunity to launch a new beginning, but Noah's sin. And we don't want to forget that. After the flood, Noah was a farmer, plants a vineyard. People might say, but he didn't know that the vine could become wine and could get drunk. Of course he knew. Everybody knows. It says with little, so I don't know if that wine was stronger, because it says with little he got drunk. I don't know if you have ever got drunk. You need more than little. So either was a very powerful wine that we don't know, but he got drunk with little and lies uncovered in his tent. This is a reminder that even the most faithful man lived righteousness in the presence of God for 600 years can fail, can succumb, can have weakness. This is shocking. This might be disgraceful, kind of unbelievable. You may think, is this the same Noah that was found right in God's presence? Yes, it is the same Noah. Shocking that a good man, if existing good man, Jesus says there is no one good but God, but it's shocking when said when we see a good man sinning. And when I hear some Christian leaders, it has happened every year we hear it, when a Christian leader has fallen, my first initiative is, it's not possible. How that could happen? I can't believe it happened, but it does happen. And George Miller, a godly man, a man who helped kids in orphanages. Actually, he have taken care in England in centuries ago. More care than old England have taken from kids from the street, he made his own kids. He has a journaling, and you can see, I have this book, you might have it, 1,000 prayers heard and answered by God. This man, George Miller, that was providing for homeless kids a safe place, he said he usually pray daily this prayer when he became old. Lord, don't let me become a wicked old man. Lord, I'm going to repeat to you, don't let me become a wicked old man. That's what Noah kind of became a little bit. For 600 years, he walked with God. After the flood, when God showed the new covenant, the purpose, the grace, the first instant, what he made, a big mistake. He sinned. And this sin was transferred to his kids. And there was a problem in the family. The family became already disarranged, dysfunctional. There was one blessed, other cursed, and all the things came about. But God is still the same. But you know what surprises me? When we hear about Noah, praise the Lord, when we go to Hebrews, we don't hear about a old, wicked man who got drunk and naked and break and brought shame to him and to his kids. No, that's not what we hear from Noah. Because God's mercy doesn't overjudge us for one or more mistakes or sin. He looks to us through Christ. So what? How he is remembered? Hebrews 11:7. And I think Pastor Dave to remind of that. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in the holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is keeping with faith. Noah was reminded a man of faith. Concluding, The Bible is not a story of God who tries and fails. It's not, oh, let me do this. Oh, didn't go right. Let me do this. Oh, didn't go right. No. But the story of a God who succeeds through covenant. It's all known. It's all planned. It's always taken care of. Nothing that happens in our life is without a purpose. I can confess, even myself, I was much better feeling last week, Pastor Dave. I wasn't fearing nothing. I was so bold. I was so happy to come here. But today I was so fearful, so weak, so kind of flu during the week and so many things. And Elaine just came back and now she has migraine, couldn't come with me. So I said, why I didn't preach last week, I preach today. Because that's what God wants, to come on my weakness, not in my strength. Perhaps something bad has happened in your life. And things bad happens because we still live in a troubled and messy and flooded in sin world. But God's mercy is still here. The Noahic covenant is fundamentally a covenant of preservation. It is a gracious promise. The rainbow is a God symbol of assurance for all creation. Every time we see, we should be reminded of his mercy and faithfulness of the Creator who made the covenant with the whole earth. How we go from here? What do we take? And bear with me one more minute. Practical applications. First, trust in God's promise. So you and I should be encouraged by God's promises. But look what is going on in Israel, in Gaza, in Iran. I know. It's shocking. Distress me. Put me in tears and my knees to pray for those injustice from all sides. And every time we think things are gonna better, get worse. But it's all under God's control and mercy. God is overseeing his plan of salvation. God is behind, not he's approving everything, probably not, probably disproving most of it, but he's still in control, he's sovereign. Trust in God's promise. We should be encouraged as Christians to place our trust in God's promises. Just as the rainbow is a sign of God's covenant faithfulness, we are to be assured that God keep his promise, living with hope in a fallen world. That's, we should remember, God will not destroy it again by waters, and I don't think he's going to destroy us by fire. The fire is going to refine. The fire is going to be a new earth, new heaven. The fire is going to put judgment in those who doesn't believe. But for us and for those who believe, we have ark, a boat to take on board and go safely, living faithfully amid of a wicked world. So that's, we should be faithful. Even as Noah was before the flood, and I believe he was faithful after this mistake. He lived 350 years more after the flood, and he is remembered to be a man of faith. And so should you, and so should I. The covenant also calls for a response to obedience to God's commands amidst of this broken world. I will end with two verses. We can go, I think there is a third. Yeah, okay. First, Paul, when he is identified with his fellow new young pastor in the pastoral epistle, and many others, he always identifies himself as the apostle. But calls my attention to this, Paul, an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. Take these rings as a reminder of everlasting covenant. Take this ring as a remembrance of the rainbow. Whatever God promised, Paul says he is, in keeping with promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And the last, but not the least, the rainbow that was placed under that covenant after the flood is going to be displayed not only in this, but in heaven. Look at the vision John has. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. What God promised, he accomplished. And I hope you and I, even though scared, first, because our own sinful nature, the enemy that lives inside us, we are scared. And I hope not to be an old, wicked man too. But our hope is not in our strength, it's in God's mercy. May God bless you. Heavenly Father, and I call the worship team to come, we thank you for this series. I'm glad I was not the only one who did it. We have heard many messages through Pastor Dave and Pastor Derek with this series. And we end up here. Remember your mercy, your covenant of grace to us as born-again believers, to all of us that are here hearing the gospel and the message of Christ, to all of those who are going to hear through the internet, through the message, through Facebook, and all that we are going to share the message that there is a God of mercy and grace that took Christ, paid the price, and gave us grace upon grace. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Lord. Amen.